When Moses came to Egypt to deliver Israel from the hands of Pharaoh, he said to Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord, let my people go." And Pharaoh said to Moses, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him? Who is God?" That's my subject today. Who is God? Now, God is not who we think he is. God is who he is. Now, think about that a moment. God is not who we think he is. Not who you think he is. He's not who I think he is. He's who he is. David wrote in Psalms 50, verse 21, God speaking, saying, "Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself." Most people's opinion of God is formed in their own mind and according to their own imagination. And Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 55, verse 8, God speaking, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways." And when we come to the question, who is God? God is not who we think he is. God is who he is. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. And then again, God is not who we say he is. Now, not only must I not rely on my thoughts about the living God, I must not rely on what somebody says about the living God. I must not rely on my thoughts. I must find out who God is, and I must find out what God says about himself. Who is God? He's not who you think he is. He's who he is. And he's not who you say he is. He's not who I say he is. God is who he says he is. Now, the heathen bows down before his idols of stone and his idols of marble, and he says, "Here is God. Here is God." The Romanist brings forth his statues and crucifixes and sacraments, and he says, "Here is God. Here is God. God is in the cathedral. God is in the tabernacle. God is in the temple. God is in the church building." The ritualist honors his holy days and honors his ceremonies and his processionals of religion with all of the banners and the uniforms of religion. And he says to the world, "Come worship with us. Here is God. God is in the holy day. God is in the ceremony. God is in the processional." The legalist brings forth his laws and his rules of religion and his do's and his don'ts. And he says to the world, "Here is God. God is in our laws. God is in our requirements. God's in our regulation. Here is God. You want to worship God? Then come bow down before our rules of religion." The theologian digs into his doctrines. He digs into his old books and his old creeds. And he digs into all of these prophecies and draws up charts telling us how everything will come to pass and when it will come to pass. And he says, "Now, world, here is God. God is in our Westminster Confession, our Philadelphia Confession, our Heidelberg Confession. God is in the Apostles' Creed. God is in our old books and our old doctrines and our old writers. Here is God." The experientialist talks in what he calls an unknown tongue, and he professes a super piety and a super holiness. He lives above sin. He lives free from sin. He dreams dreams that he doesn't understand and sees visions that no one else understands. And he says to the world, "Here is God." God is in our excitement. God is in our super piety. God is in our gibberish tongues. And the worldly religionist goes through the motions of his denominational program and plays church on Sunday while he ignores God 6.5 days a week and says to the world, "Here is God. Come worship with us. Here is God." God is in our program. God is in our promotion. God is in our enthusiasm. And the fundamentalist talks of the terrors of hell and the joys of heaven, and he calls people to come to the front. He calls upon them to make a decision for Jesus and come to the front, for he says, "Here is God." Where is God? David asked that. He said, "As the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for the living God." Again in Psalm 63, he said, "O God, thou art my God. My soul thirsteth for thee. My soul longeth for the living God in a dry and thirsty land. My friend, I don't want to know just any God or just a God. I want to know the living God, don't you? Christ our Lord said, this is eternal life, that you might know God, the true God, and Jesus Christ whom he hath sent. And again he said to the religionist of his day, he said, you neither know me nor my Father. You don't know God. Listen to Paul over in the book of Philippians chapter 3 and beginning with verse 8 in Philippians chapter 3 verse 8. Paul was a religious man. Paul was a man steeped in the teachings and traditions of the church and the customs and ceremonies of religion. And then he said in Philippians chapter 3 verse 8, I count all these things but loss, all of my heritage and tradition and ceremonies and rituals and customs, I count them but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus the Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And he gets a little stronger and he says, I do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him. Oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, that I might be made conformable unto his death. Who is God? I hear all these voices about me, and I see all these cathedrals and churches and tabernacles and temples and buildings, and I hear all the preachers, and I see the creeds and the ceremonies and the processional, and like David, I cry, O God, thou art my God, my soul thirsteth for thee in a dry and parched and desert land. My soul thirsteth for thee as the deer panteth for the water brooks. God is who he is, not who we think he is. God is who he says he is, not who we say he is, or who our fathers said he is, or who our grandfathers said he is. God is who he says he is. And if I'm going to know the living God, if I'm going to have a true knowledge of the living God, that knowledge of God must come not from men, but from God. It must come to me by divine revelation. Now, the Scripture tells us that our natural thoughts and our natural minds and our natural hearts will deceive us as to who God is. The Scripture says, there is a way that seemeth right unto men, but the end thereof is death. The Scripture says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And Job wrote, can you by searching find out God? Can you find out the Almighty under perfection? Can you contain in a finite mind the infinite God? Can you contain in a limited mind the unlimited God? Why, he says it's higher than the heavens. What can you know? It is deeper than hell. What can you do? This information that I'm talking about, this knowledge about which I'm speaking, a knowledge of the living God, is higher than the heavens. It's deeper than hell. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I want you to listen to this scripture. What I'm saying is this. If we're going to know who God is, if we're going to know where God is, we're going to have to get our information from him. He's not who we think he is. He's who he is. He's not who we say he is. God's not who I say he is. I may come to this television station and make these telecasts and preach from the pulpit and hold meetings and Bible conferences and declare before you, I know God. Come to me and I'll teach you about God. But God's not who I say he is. God is who he says he is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 9, the Scripture says, it is written, eye hath not seen, that's the natural eye, ear hath not heard, that's the natural ear, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. A knowledge of God comes by divine revelation, not by human logic, not by human wisdom. Man's wisdom is foolishness with God. God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Now watch this. What man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? In other words, you don't know anything about me. until I opened my mouth and revealed myself to you. If I stood in absolute silence, if I walked up to you, you'd never seen me before, you'd never heard of me, introduced myself, and then kept my mouth shut, you'd know nothing about me. Where I came from, what my job was, what my hobbies are, what my thoughts were, you'd know nothing about me till I revealed to you what's on the inside. So he says, even so the things of God knoweth no man save the Spirit of God. And Christ said that, no man hath seen the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And the natural man receiveth not the things of God, they're foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. If I'm going to know who God is, if I'm going to know where God is, I'm going to have to get that information from God himself. God is going to have to speak to me. God is going to have to reveal himself to me if I'm going to know God. Paul said, God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace was pleased to reveal himself in me. Who is God? Now, the two ways in which God reveals himself, the two ways in which this knowledge of God will come to you and to me. I want to know who God is, don't you? I'm not satisfied with just having religion. I'm not satisfied with just having a profession of faith. I'm not satisfied with just having a creed, a theology, a doctrine. I want to know God. I want to know him in my heart. I want to know him in my soul. I want the living God to live within me, don't you? I want to know God. And I'm not going to find out who he is from the ritualist or the Romanist or the legalist or the fundamentalist or the ceremonialist or the experientialist or the reformers. I'm going to have to find out who he is from God himself. God's going to have to reveal himself to me. Now, here's the way God reveals himself to us. Listen to this. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, listen carefully. God, who at sundry times and in different manners spake in times past unto our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the world. God reveals himself in two ways. First of all, he speaks through his word. And secondly, he speaks through his Son, who is called in the scripture the living word. The word of God. God speaks. That's God's word. God reveals himself in his word. Now, it says here that God, in different manners, spake to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. What did the prophets say about God? When God revealed himself to the fathers through the prophets, what did the prophets say about God? Well, first of all, Moses wrote that he is God the Creator. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God is the Creator. And God took Job across his vast creation, and God Almighty revealed himself as the Creator to Job. Listen to what he said in Job 38. Then the Lord answered Job and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now your loins, and I'll demand of thee, and you answer me. Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if you have understanding. Where were you when I laid the measures of this earth? If you know, tell me who stretched the line upon it. Tell me whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened. Tell me who laid the cornerstone thereof when the morning stars sang together and all the sun shouted for God. Who is God? He's God the Creator. And then Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 6, verse 1 through 3, God is holy. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And the cherubims and seraphims covered their faces, and they cried, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. And then Isaiah cried, I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. God took Israel to Sinai, and he said, I am the Lord your God. Walk before me. I am holy. Almighty God wrote, the Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth keep silence before him. He said, Moses, put off your shoes. You're on holy ground. God is holy. Who is God? He's the Creator. He created all things by the word of his power. Who is God? He is holy. Now listen to this. What did God say through the prophets? In Psalm 135, he says, I am sovereign. I am sovereign. In Psalm 135, beginning with verse 4, the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure. For I know that the Lord is great. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven, in earth, in the seas, and in all deep places. Our God is sovereign. He said, I am the Lord. I create darkness. I create light. I, the Lord, do all these things. I create good. I create evil. I declare the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Now turn to Jeremiah 18. I wish you would take your Bible and look at this scripture in Jeremiah chapter 18. God is speaking to the fathers by the prophets, telling them who he is. He says, I'm the Creator. I am the Creator. I am holy. I am sovereign. I doeth according to my will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of this earth. God Almighty waits upon no man to make the decision concerning his will and his works. Listen to Jeremiah in chapter 18, verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and I'll cause you to hear my words. And I went down to the potter's house, and behold, the potter wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. And then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are you in my hands, saith the Lord. God is sovereign. He doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of this earth, saying, my counsel shall stand. And then the prophet says, God is our Savior. Mary said this when the angel told her she would have a child, and that child would be the Christ, the Redeemer. She said, my soul rejoices in God, my Savior. The name Jehovah means God, my Savior. And David wrote in Psalm 68:20, he that is our God is the God of salvation. He took Abraham to Mount Moriah, had him put his son on the altar, bind him to offer him a sacrifice unto the Lord God. And when Abraham raised the knife, God spoke and said, Abraham, do thy son no harm. Look behind thee. And when he looked behind him, he saw a ram caught by its horns in the thicket. And he took that ram, put it in the place of Isaac, slew the ram, shed its blood in the place of his son. That substitution. God is showing Abraham how that his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be sacrificed as our substitute, as our sin offering. Almighty God took Israel to the brazen serpent, made in the likeness of the serpent that had bitten the people, and he said, look and live. There they learned substitution. He showed them the blood on the door. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Here is substitution. God, our Savior. And then the scripture tells us that God Almighty will punish sin. He will in no wise clear the guilty. The God of the Bible, the living God, the true God, will deal with sin. Adam learned this in the garden. Pharaoh learned this at the Red Sea. The cities of Sodom and Gomorrah learned it in the plains. And sinners will learn it at the great white throne. Sinners who have no substitute, who have no Savior, who have no Redeemer, no one to take theirs. God will punish all sin. All sin is going to be punished, either in the sinner or in the substitute, Christ Jesus. God owns all things. I want you to listen to this scripture in Psalms chapter 50, beginning with verse 7. Listen carefully to this scripture. Hear, O my people, and I'll speak. God says, I'll speak. And I'll testify, I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of your house, nor he goats out of your folds, for every beast of the forest is mine. Every cattle, the cattle on a thousand hills are mine. I know all the fowls of the mountain and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. God owns all things. God is eternal. The scripture says, thy throne, O God, is forever. God is omnipresent. David wrote here in Psalms 139, wherewithal shall I flee from thy presence? If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand shall lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. God is omnipresent. God gives life. He said, Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, before you came out of the womb, I knew you, I ordained you, I sanctified you, before I formed thee. And then God takes life. The scripture tells us in Job 14, man's days are appointed. The number of his months are with the Lord. God hath appointed his bound. He cannot pass. Who is God? He tells us in his word. And my friend, I'm never going to know the true and living God till I get acquainted with this book. God is not who you say he is. He's who he says he is. He's the creator. He's holy. He's sovereign. He's the savior. He owns all things. He is eternal. Almighty God gives life. Almighty God takes life. He has spoken to the Father by the prophet. Now watch this. I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 5. God hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. He spoke to the fathers by the prophets, and he hath spoken to us by his Son. Now listen carefully to this scripture. 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know God, who is true, and that we're in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God, and this is eternal life. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. And Christ, our Master, said, Philip, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. I and my Father one. God spoke to the fathers by the prophets. He told them who he is. He identified himself. He revealed himself. Some of them listened. Some of them closed their ears. He hath in these last days spoken to us by the living word. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He's God. He's called God by John, who said the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He's called God by Thomas, who fell at his feet and cried, my Lord and my God. He is called God by the Father, who said, thy throne, O God, is forever. He was with the Father before the world was made. He said, Father, glorify me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He was before Abraham, saying to those Jews, before Abraham was, I am. He forgives sin. Only God can forgive sin. We can find out who God is by listening to the Lord Jesus Christ. He reveals the Father. He is that prophet of whom Moses wrote, saying, God will raise up from among you that prophet, and him you shall hear. The Father said, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. In Bethlehem's manger, we see God incarnate. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. God with us. In the house of sinners, you see God, the friend of sinners. They call him the friend of sinners, friend of publicans, friend of sinners. Rebuking the Pharisees, you see God, revealing his hatred for hypocrisy and false religion. On the cross, you see God, reconciling the world unto himself. Now turn with me to John chapter 5. This scripture in closing. In the fifth chapter of John, verse 22, and 23. What I'm saying is this: to know God is to know Christ. To love God is to love the Lord Jesus Christ. To honor God is to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you know who God is? The only way you're going to find out who He is to come to His Word, the written Word, and come to His Son, the living Word. And in the written Word, you'll find God. And in the living Word, Christ Jesus, you'll find God. Now listen carefully. John chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment to the Son, that all men should honor the Son. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. That all men should honor the Son. He that honoreth not the Son, and that doesn't only mean in my preaching and in my sermons and in our church, but it's in our lives and in our walk and in our talk and in our conversation, in our attitude, in our imagination, in our affection, honoring the Son. To know Christ is to know God. And to know God is to have eternal life. I hope you'll join us next Lord's Day at the same time over this station. And until then, I bid you a very pleasant good day.